Let's Ragnarok this bitch.
I swear to God. We know we have to start because we're leaving that in. Let's camera action. Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for November of 2017. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And what I'm doing this year is I'm watching 100 movies that I own that I haven't watched since I bought them.
And I made a list of 24 movies I should have seen by now. And I kind of ruined them because I figure everybody has watched them by now. So the two movies I watched this month that I should have seen by now is It's a Wonderful Life and Reservoir Dogs.
And then any other movies we watch in the meantime.
So I warned you I might ruin those two movies.
I honestly, we'll talk about that later when we talk about the movie.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't always ruin them, but yeah. I'm not going to hold back on those two.
He's not going to.
Not that I really hold back a lot of the time, but I purposely try not to ruin movies.
Yeah, he doesn't go, hey, you guys watch
remember when that
this
guy died at the end?
Yeah, in his blood.
I can't believe they killed that guy.
And then also the house went up for sale, even though it was our childhood house. I don't know.
I don't know what you're. I mean, I was being very generic. And you sounded specific.
I was thinking. I don't even know. I made that up. So if that's a movie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was from Toy Story.
Oh, shit. They did move in the first one.
Yep.
But the first movie we watched this month was
Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok. The third Thor in the Thor movies.
We mentioned this last month, but I just want to mention it again. Because maybe we'll get sponsorship, but probably not. So we have this thing called Movie Pass. If you haven't heard of it, it is a monthly subscription where it's like Netflix before the movie theater. You can see whatever movie you want as long as it's not 3D or Ultra Screen. And you can only see one movie a day. So some of these movies we went and saw in the theater, even though we didn't plan on really seeing them in the theater. But since it was technically free...
Yeah, because currently...
As long as you watch one movie, you already save money.
Currently, on December 1st of 2017, it is $10 a month. Yeah. Approximately, it's like $9.95 or something.
Which is cheaper than Netflix.
Which is also cheaper than seeing one movie.
Yeah.
So, what we did.
That's why we went and saw Ragnarok in the theater.
Yes.
Because we knew we were going to see Justice League, so we're like, that's the movie we paid for, and the rest are free.
Kat, if you're going to talk on this podcast, you got to get closer to the mic.
Yeah.
So
the first movie we saw
was Thor Ragnarok. And I kind of mentioned this last month when we talked about Snowman. This movie had its good moments, but then it got immediately overshadowed by its bad moments.
Yeah. Well, okay, for starters, we saw trailers for this movie, and whenever the trailers came on, I had a sigh of, oh my God. To basically say that this is a comedy movie when the other two weren't.
Yeah.
Even though there was comedy aspects in the other ones, they really forced the humor in this one. And I'm getting kind of sick of all the humor in all the Marvel movies, and this one went over the top.
Yeah.
So as a whole, like, I can understand why people would like it.
Yeah.
But it was very disappointing because when you say, hey, Thor and Hulk are going to fight, you don't expect them to stop fighting and have jokes constantly through the fight. I want to see them fight.
That's also one of the big things that I didn't like about this movie is anytime any sort of tension-filled moment, like, hey, it's like the bad guy's like giving his big speech and you hear the music like rising, like, this is intense, it immediately got ruined by a joke and it just made the villains or any sort of like necessity for it, for like seriousness go away. Where so it kind of made it feel like, oh, this world may or may not end, but we don't give a shit because we're not taking the villains seriously,
right?
But basically, the idea of the movie is if you watch the other two Thor movies, you understand he's like this god in Asgard, but he ends up. You find out from Odin that Thor has a sister named Hela, who is the goddess of death. And once Odin dies, she will. He's been holding her back all these years. So then Hela will show up and basically do her thing, which is death.
Do her thing.
That's her thing. She's like, hey, kill people. Cool. But then he ends up getting... Thor ends up just basically getting banished from the world because Hela is too powerful for him. And he ends up on this planet where he's forced to fight basically Sakaar from the Planet Hulk comic. And that's where Hulk comes in. And basically the rest of the movie is just Thor trying to get off Sakaar and making friends and plans and how to go back to Asgard and fight Hela off.
He created the Revengers.
Yeah, the Revengers, I guess. And the thing is, I was like, I remember when you were watching the trailers and you got mad. And I watched trailers, I'm like, well, but these moments right here, these seem like cool moments. Like the part where all the Valkyrie are like flying down, and I'm like, mm-hmm. This is gonna be fucking epic. Oh, it's a flashback. You don't even fucking get to see that part of the movie because it's a goddamn flashback. Some of the characters are decent, but every character was the comedic character. Yeah. That's what ruined it a lot for me.
And the thing that pissed me off a lot is that Loki is the god of mischief.
Yes.
And Thor was funnier than Loki. Like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Loki had his comedy moments, but it wasn't nearly as much as the other characters.
Yeah, Thor in other movies, he's like, oh, he's like, I don't understand what's going on, but he was still like a large man, a large muscly man in the world of his surroundings. Plus, this movie, he fucking knocked things over and
plus, Bruce Banner didn't seem smart.
No, he seemed like he didn't.
He's supposed to be like one of the smartest people, and in this, he couldn't even. Oh my god,
it felt like
he was trying to be Tony Stark.
It felt like Mark Ruffalo was like, hey guys, I'm off next week. You guys do anything? If you want to jump in and do this movie with us, what's the script? Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Just improvise it.
And a lot of the movie was apparently improvised, which with a big budget movie like that, I don't know. I have a lot of gripes with, like, because Jason and I, we both have very odd choices in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to see a comic book movie based on a character that we've known for years, and they choose, like, it's like, hey, cool. They're finally, like, comic book movies are finally, like, now rolling out where it's a point of, like, now you can pick and choose your comic book movies because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time,
they feel the same.
Yeah, but at the same time, they feel the same. But also, at the same time, it's like, hey, there's a lot of comic book movies, but they're still only coming out once every couple of months.
Yeah.
And we go, hey, finally we can go see a Thor movie because he's only been in, like, four movies total. And this is the fourth one. Or five movies, sorry, because the Avengers,
He just wasn't in Civil War. He was in Age of Ultron.
So, like, hey, cool, you can watch the Thor movie, and it's a comedy movie.
And it didn't seem like a Thor movie.
And it didn't feel like a Thor movie. It didn't feel like, and it was the comedy stuff that we didn't, like, I don't know, man.
They had a joke about a shake weight.
Yes.
What year is this? Is that still, do they still make shake weights?
Probably. They reference Devil's Anus. They say that at least five times.
Zap.
I don't know. It, man.
I gave it a 6.
I gave it a 4.5.
Yeah.
I
got mad watching it, but there are parts I liked, but I don't know. It wasn't great.
Like, Hela,
it might be one of the weakest.
Hela, I liked Hela as a character, but even her, she's like, I'm the goddess of death, and then they go, by the way, we're gonna have some sassy jokes for you, too. So, like, oh, I'm serious, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to kill everybody. What, weren't you listening to me? It's like, God, I'm not going to take a villain seriously if they're cracking jokes, too. I mean, fuck, man. I gave it a 4.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.
The first movie I watched off my list, I guess, or in real movies, you just watched it last night. Hearts in Atlantis, based on the Stephen King book with the same name.
Part of the Stephen King book with the same name.
The book, I was explaining this to Jason right before this podcast, because the book has like two large chunks. So it's like almost like two novellas and then a small short story at the end. And this follows the first part, the first big novella chunk of the book.
And I only read that part of the book.
Yeah.
Because it kind of ties with the Dark Tower.
Yeah. But the story, it takes place in the 1960s? I want to say 50s or 60s. I don't want to say 60s because...
It was when Nixon was running for president.
Okay. Because I remember the...
It was like, because he's already vice president, but he's running for president.
Yeah, because in the book, the Vietnam War is happening in the second part, and it's only like not even 10 years.
I just remember he was reading the paper to him.
Yeah,
remember?
Maybe it was 50. I don't know. I don't know my history. But anyways, the movie's about a small child named Bobby Garfield, who is his mom is like, she's a single mom taking care of him, and they're short of money, so they rent out the upstairs room, and an old man named Ted Brodigan, he decides to check out that room. And then the mother's nervous at first because she's like, oh, an old man hanging out with a kid.
Yeah, he's a pedophile. He's
like, he must be a pedophile. But Bobby and Ted become good friends. But you find out that you find out more about Ted's past slightly. Not as much as in the book, but he has special gifts. Like, and I don't even know how much they go into it. I don't really...
Well, because he... obviously gives the kid some of the power because of the card trick.
Yeah, because he touches him.
Not improperly.
No, yeah, because Ted's, like, laying there, like, in a trance, and he, like...
Wakes him up.
Tries to shake him, wake him up, and then suddenly Bobby has, like, this sort of psychic powers. In the Dark Tower series, he's a psychic, the Ted, like...
He's like a breaker.
Yeah, this is almost like a side story to the Dark Tower, because there's a character that shows up in the seventh book, and he is he just like escapes from the Lowmen, which are the bad guys in the Dark Tower movie and books.
Yeah, they mention Lowmen and
mention the Lowmen in the book in the movie, but yeah, he's like basically hiding out from them, and then like, but it's basically about the story about a boy and an old man becoming friends. And then the boy becoming basically a coming of age story where he learns that he can be take care of himself too, because his mom was one taking care of him, and then he realizes he's more of a man than he realizes and beats the shit out of that bully.
Spoiler.
Well, you don't know what part.
So I only read part of the book. Basically the part that this movie was.
The cover looks like he's in prison. Like,
yeah, I don't know what's going on in the cover. But if I didn't read the book, I would be like, this is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
It jumps around a lot. There's no real plot other than character development. Because it's like, oh, him and his friends are hanging out. Oh, now he's reading the paper. Now he's, you know, like... And it's like, what's going on?
And even Anthony Hopkins doesn't seem like he was... It looked like he was like...
He's like...
Hey, you want to be in this movie? I don't really want to. We'll pay you this much. Can I come in on my days off from, like, doing the things I like? Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, because he doesn't seem like he's trying that hard.
Yeah. He's basically... It's like he's just reading the lines. It's 1960. I was... Yeah. But Anton Yelchin is in it as a kid, which is terrifying. Because... Well, he played... Not Smirnoff. Oh, God.
Schmeagol?
No, Star Trek movie. He was,
Chekhov?
Chekhov!
Smirnoff?
He was Chekhov in that movie. And, like, that... I'm like, oh, this will... I realized how young, much well, younger Alan he Tudyk was.
Was at, the guy who did the card trick.
Yeah. He's, like, labeled... He was, like, right away in the opening credits. And, like, and then he only shows up for, like, a 5-minute
Yeah,
part.
But that, to me, was, like, the big part in the story. Like, yeah, to yeah. me, that was the most entertaining part of the whole thing. So I'm glad it was in the movie.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't really explain why.
Yeah. I don't know.
They did in the book, but they didn't explain in the movie. He's just, like, staring at his face.
Yeah.
The cards.
It wasn't anything overly exciting.
Mm-mm.
It was... The only good thing about it to me was that I got to see another Stephen King story in live action.
You got to see something you read.
Yeah.
I gave it a 5.
I think... Oh, boy. I should, I
didn't think it was anything. I wouldn't tell people to watch it.
Yeah, I gave it a 5.5. Yeah. Only because, yeah. Yeah, so that was that movie.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. Like, I don't know. The next movie I watched was actually, I know I feel bad because I got this movie 2 years ago from Mr. Tony Mayer. We got to bring his name up again. Hey-o, woof, 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 woof.
Why are you saying woof?
I don't know. I was trying to do some sort of like weird like talk show thing. like, hey-o, whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa, dub, dub.
It was a movie that he gave to me at a Christmas party. He's like, because he's like, I accidentally bought this movie twice, but it's a good movie. And I think, I was like, who would enjoy this movie? I think Scott would. So he gave it to me. It is called Safety Last. And oh boy, I already forgot the dude's name. Harold
Ramis.
Nope. He's one of the silent comedy guys like Charlie Chaplin and
Buster Keaton
and stuff, but he was like one of the big guys like back then. But for some reason, I guess he like kind of disappeared. Harold Lloyd. That's right, because that's basically the characters from Dumb and Dumber. Harold, Harry, and Lloyd. Harold Lloyd.
Where they got it from?
I don't know. That's how I was like, hey, Harry Lloyd. Oh God, Harold Lloyd. Jesus. So that was I guess he made a couple movies, and then once movies started going into with sound, he kind of.
He must have had a horrible voice.
No, I think it was just like I read an article, but then I forgot all of it. But basically, the movie, the gist of the movie is that Harold Lloyd, who plays the character of the man, it's like all the characters had just generic names like man, girl. Here's the boy. Mildred Davis was the girl. And then he had Bill, the pal, the law, the floor walker.
The floor walker?
Yeah. So
walks on the floor. What?
He's like the manager sort of type.
Oh, okay.
They just make but the movie takes place of the boy. He has a girlfriend and he's like, they live out in the country. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna move to the city. I'm gonna get a good job. I'm gonna work my way up. I'm going to save some money, and once I get enough money, you can move to the city with me, and we'll get married. And she's like, oh, that's a great idea. And then it spans ahead, like, a certain amount of time, and he's like, you realize he's still, like, just doing very low-income things. And, like, basically his check that he gets for his paycheck is basically just enough to cover the rent in his place, but he's, like, buying all these gifts for her so that she's not worried that he's not making any money in the city.
Even though he technically is losing money by doing that.
Pretty much. Because like at one point they had a fun gag where the land renter, what are they called?
Landlord?
Landlord. They comes in and is like, oh, I need your rent. So they like put coats on with hangers and then hung themselves on the wall and then just like pulled their knees up so that they went in the room. There's like just coats on the wall, but they're like hidden inside, like hiding from the landlord.
The paylord.
Then he ends up like buying, like spending most of his paycheck on like this necklace for her and sends it to her and stuff. And then the girl's mom's like, you know, this is dangerous for him to be in the city with all that money because he's sending you all these gifts. You should go to the city and you guys can get married when you get to the city. So then she just jumps on a train and heads to the city and then like goes into the shop where he's working, where he basically just works on the floor, like selling fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's that whole thing where his manager's like mad at him because he'd screwed something up. And then, her seeing him like, oh, it's like he owns all this, like thinking he's like the manager, store manager. So he's like going back and forth, pretending that he's.
This plot has been rehashed.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Since then,
and like, but there's a fun part. I like there's this one part where it's this comedic bit where she wants to see his office, and he was like literally just in the office. That's why she thinks he's the manager because he walked out of the manager's office. After he just got yelled at by his manager. Say, like, one more screw up and you're fired. But the movie has a lot of funny comedic gags and stuff like that. And the part where the whole office part is funny because he has these buzzers that call different people into the manager's office. and he accidentally sits on it when the girl's in there. So all these people just come in. And he's like looking around, like, I don't know why we're here. Like, I don't know. It's funny. But then the business, like we need more people in the doors. I will give anyone $1,000 if they come up with this great idea to draw attention to the store. Which $1,000 back then was a fuck ton because his paycheck was like $12. So like earlier in the movie, his friend accidentally had a run in with a cop that, like, because it's Harold Lloyd's fault that he tricked a cop into pushing him over because he thought it was his friend, and they had a little switcheroo. But he, like, his friend worked construction and stuff, so he's good at climbing buildings, he got away from the cop at climbing the building, so he's like, I got an idea. We'll bring the climber. Like, I have a friend who will climb this like 12-story building on the outside, and that will draw tons of people here. But then the cop that got pushed over at the beginning saw his friend. He's like, I'm going to catch him. So he's like, Harold, here's what you'll do. Just climb the first story or two, and then once I lose this cop, then I'll take over and climb the rest of the building. And then it keeps, like, crazy things keep happening as he's going up the side of the building. And it's I guess it's called Safety Last because he was doing all those stunts himself, like, just literally climbing the outside of a building. And I don't think there's, like, any, like, safety rope. Like, there are probably safety nets and stuff, but, like, there's, like, no ropes tied to him. He's, like, literally just, like, climbing up the side of the building and stuff like that. And just a whole bunch of this, like, crazy, crazy antics and stuff. It was actually pretty funny. I might want to look into more Harold Lloyd stuff. But, yeah, the movie had quite a few funny gags. I got to watch more old silent films because some of that shit is goddamn gold. Because I like a lot of comedic moments where people's reactions...
Yeah.
And they're just like, their facial, like, they're like facial reactions are just like, you can't see what I'm doing. It's a podcast.
Dumb.
But yeah, I gave it a 7. I liked it.
Nice.
You want to do one?
Sure. So one of the movies I watched this month that I have never seen is It's a Wonderful Life, which I feel everyone has seen. But I liked it a lot. Apparently it's a Christmas movie, even though, like, it starts Christmas, and basically the movie is this guy's down on his luck, and he wants to basically kill himself. And this movie does a flashback of his life and shows where he is now. And his dad owned a bank, right? It was a bank? Or I a think mortgage. So, yeah, it was like a mortgage company. I think it was like a bank, thing.
Yeah.
Because it was a loans, savings and loans place. And, he ended up taking over for his dad, even though he had, like, these big dreams to explore the world and whatnot, but he got stuck behind. And he ran this business, and there's a rich guy who's basically trying to buy up everything in town and put him out of business because the one property he doesn't own is that savings and loan place. And he does a bunch of crazy things to keep his business afloat, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Like by crazy, you mean like you wouldn't make money doing this, but you're helping people out,
right?
Type thing.
So he lent money to people he probably shouldn't have, but he wants to help. And he wants everyone basically to flourish
because he's a legit good person.
Yeah, he cares more about the people than the profit, where the other guy's not. And then toward the end of the movie, a stack of cash gets basically misplaced. And he's like, shit, the government's going to say, hey, where's your money that you have for all these people? And he's going to lose his business and all that. So that's where he's, like, down on his luck type thing. But then,
that wasn't near the end of the movie. That was just near the end of...
Well, kind of. Okay. But, the end of the flashback.
Yeah.
So then everyone helps out him at the end and say, hey, you helped us and we'll help you. What? Yeah. Saying, you want to say something? Go ahead.
No, I was saying, I feel like you missed a big chunk in the middle.
I fell asleep.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, because he's down his luck, but then he's like... He
meet the girl thing?
But no, like it shows all these moments in life, because, like, this is a trope used in a lot of movies and TV shows and stuff,
yeah,
where the angel shows him all the times in his life, mm-hmm, that he helped people out, and if it wasn't for him being there, all kinds of crazy shit would go bad. Like the pill guy, the pharmacy guy,
yeah,
like, would have given kid poison, and, like... So, like, that's why it shows, like, hey, being nice
pays off
because like it just showed like
he might be down on his luck, but all these people are better off with him. So then at the end they help him out. I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8.
I watched this in June of 2014, if you want to go back and listen to me talk about it.
I guess I didn't have to talk about it then.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That was fucking 3 years ago. I gave it a 7.
Yeah. So I liked it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
It was pretty good. Pretty annoyed. It's I'm not a huge Christmas movie guy, but I remember I watched it in the middle of summer, obviously. June. But no, yeah. It's
one everyone talks about. I'm like, you know, I probably should see this movie.
Yeah.
And apparently I did see part of it, because the part where he's walking with the girl after they fell in the pool and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to lasso the moon and all that stuff. Like, that whole scene, I'm like, I'm having deja vu watching that. Because then she's like, has the towel and then she goes in the bush because she dropped her towel and stuff like that. And that whole scene, I'm like, I must have seen this part.
Well, there's a lot of scenes that are... Cause I want to say Home Alone. I could be wrong, but I remember it was a Christmas movie.
Where they were watching it?
It was on TV. And I was like... Because I remember hearing that, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Yeah.
I can't remember what movie that's from.
I want to say that was from Gremlins.
I feel like... Maybe. I don't know. I feel like I would know if it was Gremlins.
Yeah. I'm sure you would.
But yeah, like just a whole bunch of stuff like that. But yeah. Speaking of Anton Yelnik, or Yelnit, whatever his name is, I watched the Star Trek movie, the one that was done fucking how many years ago?
The Star Trek, the original one?
No, the J.J. Abrams reboot.
Oh, the reboot.
Okay. One?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I thought you were talking about the original motion picture
one. No, I think I got it last year from Josiah for our movie exchange we had. If you haven't seen the Star Trek movie, boy, oh boy, there's a lot that goes on in that movie.
Yeah, there is.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that was loud.
It's basically, without going into the huge plot aspect of it, it's basically a new retelling of the story of basically how the Enterprise from the Star Trek movies, like how they became the team that they are. But because a villain crossed through this black hole to exact revenge on something that hasn't happened yet, it's a nice time wormhole like fuckery. I don't know how to describe it, man. But it's a. I saw it once in the theaters and I thought that was pretty good. And then I ended up like seeing it like at Ken and Sarah's house once because they popped it in. And I was like, all right, it's nice. It was good. But I probably wouldn't watch it again. And then I got a copy of it. I'm like, well, I have to watch it again. and I was like, this is actually better than I remember it being.
Yeah.
I don't know why people give shit to J.J. Abrams' whole, like, light.
There was too many lens flares.
I don't know. It didn't... The fact that
I noticed it
means
it's too much.
Yeah, I noticed it at, like, a few points. But other than that, like, they didn't jump out at me, but I don't know. But no, like, it was good cast, good acting and stuff. Like I said, I already saw it a few times, like, so I don't feel like...
And I felt like they did a good job making the other Star Trek movies work.
Yeah, I do
even
like
though,
that.
Even though it was a reboot, it was still... That continuity still existed.
Yeah.
So that's... I like that part. So
yeah.
It's not like, hey, all the stuff you know about Star Trek, fucking garbage, throw it away, we're starting over. It wasn't one of those, like, they do most reboots.
Yeah, yeah. They actually paid attention and paid homage to the past and didn't say it means
and
nothing.
And Leonard Nimoy was in it.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy was in it. Winona Ryder was in it, even though she wasn't in the Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I was going to say that. What are you doing?
I was like, I started saying Winona Ryder's name. Like, you said Nimoy because he was in the original. God damn it.
Yeah, I wasn't just listing people that were in the movie, Scott.
Thor was in it.
Yeah.
Thor was... Chris Hemsworth. That's the thing. People always joke about all the Chris's, like Chris Pratt and Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth and all the different Chris's, and how they're like, oh, they're like big, hunky, funny mans. And like, oh, but then they had Chris Hemsworth play Chris Pine's dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys, this is your fault, Hollywood.
Star Trek's fault. Thanks, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, thanks, Obama. Because it happened when he was the president. I don't know.
Yeah, Obama had everything to do with the reboot of Star Trek.
Could you imagine? It's like his name is in the credits. Executive producer.
Thanks, Obama.
Thank you.
We're being sincere.
I gave it a 7.5. Why don't you do one?
Okay, so I watched this movie called The Arrival, not to be confused with Arrival.
Not Charlie Sheen.
This is...
Isla Fisher?
What's her face?
Was it Isla Fisher?
No, it's the one from Superman.
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams.
It would have been funnier if Isla Fisher did it.
Why? Because she was in the other one?
Because I like her more.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was Amy Adams. So, they're... So it's showing like a normal day. You know, Amy Adams' character is a professor and she talks about translations and stuff like that. But all of a sudden the kids in class are like looking at their phones and they're like, what's going on? You guys, pay attention. Like, turn on the TV. And then they turn on the TV and there's all these spaceships in the sky and everyone's trying to figure out what the hell they're for. And it seemed like a very realistic reaction to, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? Like, there's spaceships or something floating above all these major cities. And
is that a spaceship right there?
Yeah.
It looks like a parenthesis.
Yeah.
Or a contact lens.
Yeah. So then during the process, these guys come to Amy Adams and say, hey, we need your help. You know how to decipher language and translate and stuff like that? We want you to help us. And she's like, okay. So they bring her to the spaceship, and they are able to get into one of the rooms on the spaceship, but there's a barrier, so like they don't actually interact with the aliens. And because they make a bunch of clicks and weird noises, they're like, that's got to be the language. And she's like, I don't know if it is. So she tries like different ways to communicate with them by writing her name on a piece of paper and holding it up and saying, this is my name, and pointing to herself, saying the word. And eventually they like tentacle comes out and it spits like ink into like this weird circle. And they're like, huh. And then the other one comes and does the same thing and spits a circle, but it looks different. So they're like, that's probably their language. So they take like pictures and they tried deciphering this language. Mm-hmm. And she tries doing different ways to communicate with them. They're like, you can't keep communicating with these could be dangerous creatures. And she's like, no, this is how we have to do it if we want to show them that we're peaceful. And at the same time, like, other countries like want to blow them up, and she's actually making headway with mm-hmm. communicating with these things, and she actually starts breaking the rules so she can try to communicate with them more. And I don't want to give too much away, but part of the communication is trying to figure out, why are you guys here? And then obviously at the end of the movie, they're going to tell you why they're there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what the fuck? And that's the movie.
They saw Finding Nemo and they're trying to find Nemo.
So it was very interesting because, I mean, it wasn't a fast paced movie. It was very slow.
Yeah.
But it felt very realistic. And even though it was slow, it did seem like they were chopping chunks out, so it like got from one point to the next really fast. So there were times, I'm sure, that she was talking to these aliens that didn't show, because mm-hmm. there's no way she would have been able to figure that shit out in how much screen time we saw.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a very interesting movie, a different take. And I don't know. The ending still makes me think. But I gave it a 7.5. I thought it was a pretty good movie. It was on Hulu when I watched it, so I don't know if it's still going to be there. But I was like, holy shit, this is on Hulu? This is a fairly recent movie. So
2016?
So I watched it. Well, because it hasn't been on anything else, really. So I saw it was on Hulu, and I was like, I'm going to watch it because it might be taken off soon. Because that couldn't have been cheap to get on there.
By the way...
Because it was up for Academy Awards.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you said it right or not. This is Arrival, not The Arrival.
I thought it was called The Arrival.
Nope, The Arrival is the Charlie Sheen one.
Oh, shit, I gotta take the off. So it's just Arrival.
Did you know The Arrival, or Oh, never mind.
Charlie Sheen's The Arrival.
Charlie Sheen is The Arrival, but apparently there's Arrival 2 that happened 2 years later. I don't know if it's a sequel to that.
Maybe.
Whatever. But it's just Arrival 2, not The Arrival 2.
Oh, shit. It's a prequel.
speaking of arriving, the next movie I watched was Dirty Dancing.
I don't get it. I wrote The Arrival in the thing, even though it was Arrival.
Dirty Dancing. It's a. I remember watching this movie in, like, through osmosis, and just being in a room near it, being on all the time, because my mom watched it.
I watched it a lot too.
I remember my mom watching it a lot and listening.
Because I like the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is amazing, and it still is good.
I remember borrowing my mom's soundtrack and listening to the tape.
It's a good. On my it's boombox. A good music. But it's about a and boy, watching it as an adult as opposed to a kid makes the movie completely different. So what the movie is about is there's that these super there's this sort of resort, this like mountain not mountain resort but it's like a sort of like a camp it's like a whatever a fancy person's resort. It takes place in the '60s again.
It's like a summer camp type thing.
Yeah, but it's also like it's kind of like a resort. Because it's at this really rich dude's like mansion, but he like it's not a mansion, but like at this like big, like clubhouse type thing, and then everyone has like cabins and stuff like that, and but the family arrives there. That's what I was doing, because the main characters.
Well, it took a long time to get the cross.
Whatever, man. It's called. Jennifer Grey's character.
Segway.
That took a long time to say Segway.
I know, right?
Jennifer Grey, not Dirty Grey. Her character is her baby. I should remember her name, and it's Baby. We know this.
Yeah, no one puts Baby in the corner.
It's actually a nickname, if you find out. But her dad is a doctor, and he got a free stay there because he saved the owner's life. He's like, hey, come here, like, and it's all these fucking fancy rich people. But they have entertainment that they hire there. Like, hey, these people teach people how to dance. And this is like, over here is like shuffleboard and this, like, old, and then eating food and all these fancy, fancy, schmancy things they got. But it's like during the summer. And Jennifer Grey, or Baby, sees Patrick Swayze dancing. Nope. Yeah. She sees Patrick Swayze, like, dancing at, like, the dinner. The dance after dinner one night, and like she's like, oh wow, boy, he sure is handsome. I like the cut of his jib. I don't know if that's what she says, but she's like, no, he seems neat. But then I guess the staff are like kind of told, like, hey, make the girls feel special, even the ugly ones, make them feel special, and all of that. It's like just douchey people. But then she sees this one guy and like that, like, likes her. Like, hey, you can kind of tell he likes her. And he's like, hey, she sees him carrying all these watermelons. And he's like, oh, I'm dropping these. He's like, do you need help carrying them? He's like, no, I'm good. He's like, actually, yeah, if you want to help, we're bringing it up here. But you have to promise you can't tell anybody that we're here. Because the only when they're working can the workers mingle with the guests.
Patrons.
Yeah. And but like they have their own little parties and stuff, and that's like she shows up to this party carrying watermelons, and then you see them like dancing like really close and sexy and all stuff like that, and like what is this? Like, oh, it's this new dance that these kids in the city are doing, basically just being sexy dancings. But then Patrick Swayze's character Johnny Castle, what an awesome name, Johnny Castle. It's like. His dancing partner ends up getting knocked up by somebody, and they need money to get an abortion for her because she can't dance if she's pregnant. So they end up going to this this hack doctor who was like really shady, gave her an abortion, and she got infected. So then she ends up having like to get her dad, who's a doctor, to come and take care of. Fix and heal the lady dancer, and then the dad's like, you can't hang around with these people anymore, and also like just fucking making her stay away from the guys. But then now they're all screwed because they're gonna get another job dancing at this other resort, which would help because it's their job. But now she can't dance. He was like, we can't dance now because she's all healing from her abortion. They never even say abortion in the movie. They make you assume you know what's going on by using, like, you know, movie.
Hey, they don't say it, but you know by movie.
Like, I mean, the way it's presented and stuff like that, it's not like they leave you in the dark. They're like, they insinuate as an abortion. They don't just flat out say abortion.
By ways of movie.
Whatever. So then Jennifer Grey offers to go, hey, teach me how to dance. We have like 2 weeks.
Teach me how to Dougie.
She's like, teach me to dance. We have quite a few days. You can teach me how to dance, and then you'll get the job. And then once she heals up, you guys can go to the job, and you'll get your money and stuff. But with the dad being like, you can't hang out with him. He's bad news. But then then Johnny is like, hey, she starts like falling for her and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, sweet and everything. And then the end of the movie is like the talent show. Because at the end, and throughout the whole movie, Baby's older sister is like this really just shitty person, like full of herself. And she's like, I'm going to sing at the talent show. And when you finally hear her sing, it's straight up garbage. It's so fucking great. But it's pretty entertaining. I liked the movie a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember liking it.
But yeah, it was fun. I think I gave it an 8.
Nice.
That was a God, I have a bunch more. I'll do this one quick. The next one we watched, I remember watching in college with our radio TV film teacher, Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of like film noir type movie called Kiss Me Deadly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's a Mickey Spillane movie because he like used to write like books and stuff like based on like I think the guy's name in this movie is Mike Hammer, which is like just a generic like awesome badass name. But he, the movie starts off with this guy, like this private investigator, like just driving on the highway, and he almost hits this woman in the middle of the road who's basically just wearing a coat. And he's like, what is going on? She's like, I'm being chased. Help me. He's like, all right, fine. I'll bring you to the gas station, whatever. And then, you know, I'll bring you to as far as this city. And then, you know, then we part ways. But then, they end up getting like, not boycotted. What is it when people set a trap for you? Bounced? No. Bombarded. Whatever. Anyways, they set a trap for him. and then like he basically doesn't remember anything. You see him like going in and out of consciousness as like they're trying to revive her. Because they killed her, like, by torturing her, asking her questions and stuff. So then he's like, well, and they're like, hey, stay away from us. Don't look into this any further. And he's like, all right, fine. I'll start looking into this further. And she starts, he starts digging into it more and more.
Entrapment.
No, that's not the word I was thinking of.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Ambushed. They ambush him. but they're like, yeah, we you gotta stop looking into this because it's not good for you. It's not gonna be good for your health, and so like he's going digging into this, and there's this it's a lot of like Cold War stuff, like pre Cold War, like man, oh man, I can't explain this movie very well at all, but I like it because it's a nice good old fashioned like feels like a cool badass film noir detective story. From 1955, I'm going to read the definition so you understand what it is. A doomed female hitchhiker pulls Mike Hammer into a deadly whirlpool of intrigue revolving around a mysterious great what's-it.
What's-it.
And I could be wrong, but I want to say Pulp Fiction was inspired by this movie because there's a briefcase they open and there's like shining out of it. But it's a... I don't know. It's a pretty cool movie. Even though I explained it so shittily, but I gave it a 7. It's a Mike Hammer. It's just a cool, like, just imagine, like, hey, it's a movie involving a guy named Mike Hammer. You kind of already know what kind of movie it is. But it was good. I liked it. 7. All right, you go.
So the next movie I watched was a film called Colossal.
Yeah.
It's weird because it was a movie that had, I guess, somewhat big actors in it.
Well, Anne Hathaway was the main actress.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway. But I'm just saying, like, I don't remember seeing many ads for it or anything like that. But it kept my attention because when I saw it on Hulu, I'm like, I'm going to watch this.
Well, only time I saw it was that trailer that, like, because once in a while you say, like, oh, the new trailers, it's a compilation of a bunch of trailers. I saw it on there, and that's about it.
Yeah, it came out last year. No, it was released April 2017. So it came out this year. But anyway, Anne Hathaway plays an alcoholic who gets into a fight with her boyfriend, and he kicks her out of his apartment. So she has nothing to do. So she goes back home to her hometown where she grew up. And while she's there, she runs into a guy she knew when she was a kid, who's played by Jason Sudeikis, who owns a bar. So she's like, oh, I'm going to hang out with this guy because I'm an alcoholic.
Yay.
So she's hanging out with him, and she gets really drunk and wanders into this park. And then she gets home and falls asleep. And then the next day, people are like, did you see there was a giant creature that attacked Seoul? She's like, what? She's like, well, how long have you been asleep? They've been having reports since early this morning. It's like 2. And she sees this creature, and then she, like, slowly starts putting 2 to 2 together because the monster's, like, stumbling and shit. And so the next night, she goes to the park at a certain time. Mm-hmm. And on her phone, she has, like, this live feed where this monster showed up. And she realizes that it's her.
Yeah.
So then she shows her friends, like, hey, check this out. And they're like, there's innocent people. You got to watch out. She's like, where are they? And, like, basically trying not to step on people because they're watching the live feed while she's in the park.
Yeah.
And Jason Sudeikis walks in, and he's like, no, you can't. And then all of a sudden they're like, holy shit, a giant robot showed up. So then they're, like, having a conversation and stuff. She's like, you gotta be careful. The river's over here and all this stuff. And people go nuts. And basically it becomes, like, this big thing that, okay, which one's the good guy? Which guy's the bad guy? Maybe the robot's trying to stop this monster from showing up and all this. And
there's one of the covers on IMDb.
Yeah. So they don't really explain too much, but apparently it's just those two.
Because
anyone else who walks in the park, nothing happens.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story about this alcoholic who's trying to become sober at the same time. Because she ends up getting a job at the bar working for that guy.
Yeah.
But then he starts turning into kind of a dick to her because she doesn't drink. And it's
That's a reason to be a dick to someone.
Right. Well, because he's, you know, she's interested in one of his friends, and I'm sure he wants her, kind of thing. But I don't know. It's a weird, it reminds me of a weird indie comedy that just happens to have giant monsters in it.
Yeah.
And the ending is really bizarre. But toward the end, they tell why this is happening and stuff like that. But because she hasn't been to that town for a long time. But
yeah.
Something happened when she was a kid.
They don't sleep together, do they?
Make a little baby monster? No.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I would be terrified. Like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? And then, like, the monster robot just start having sex in the middle, like, in the middle of, like, downtown Seoul.
Yeah. But, because she was drunk and, like, tons of people died because this monster, like, so that kind of, like, is her, I should not drink because I killed a ton of people.
Yeah, that's definitely a life moment.
Yeah. So I gave it a 7. I thought it was really good. Right. Definitely an interesting movie. A different take on a very common premise almost, beside the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
They added monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next two movies I'm going to go through kind of fast because it's a movie and then a sequel. I saw The Wishmaster and Wishmaster 2. I remember watching this like in high school or middle school or something. And we were like, this is a cool movie. And then, it was probably high school. And then I was like, when Mega Media went out of business, I bought it because it had a 2-pack. It was a 4-pack with those two movies on it. The gist of the movie is that years, like basically before the creation of the Earth, are the djinn, like the genies. This evil genie existed for many, 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 many years. And basically it lives in this gem.
Okay.
And whoever awakens the genie from the gem is like very important to the story. Because the genie, for exchange for people's souls, he'll grant them one wish.
So you had to give him souls and he'll give you a wish.
No. The person who wakes him up, they're like basically like the master or whatever. But then he can grant anyone one wish.
Oh, okay.
One wish for their soul.
So it's like trading your soul for a wish?
Yeah, it's like a devil, yeah.
Like the devil.
But then once he gathers enough souls, the person who awakens them has to make 3 wishes.
Do people know they're giving in the soul?
He tells them, but they don't believe him.
And but then, they believe the wishes.
Yeah, because most of the wishes don't end up well.
Okay.
Like, oh boy, I wish I could have a ass like that. And like, oh my god, it turned whatever, cuts them. Whatever.
They have a donkey.
Like in the second one, he's like, but I wish I could walk through these bars. And the guy basically just gets pushed through these prison bars and like just crushes his bones and everything. And then like by that point, he doesn't know what
it's a lose lose.
I mean, one guy, a couple
you
people
lose
like
your soul, and you fucking get
well.
A horrible wish.
Some people do it well if they know how to phrase things.
I didn't say a 5-inch penis.
But anyways, the person who has the like you got there's. They make 3 souls, and then basically he becomes Lord of Earth or whatever. I don't know. Like, he opens up, like, his world. Like, the Earth is now his world, like, where he comes from. Like, the darkness consumes the Earth, etc., etc. So what happens, that's the basis of both movies. But a girl at the beginning of the movie, like, look, there's a guy who's drunk. I'm going to ruin this movie for you. The guy, I'll tell you the ending. There's a guy who's drunk and he drops this statue and it lands on Sam Raimi's brother. And then it breaks open and then there's a gem in the inside.
Is this a Sam Raimi movie?
No.
Oh.
But Sam Raimi's brother's in it.
That's why I thought it was his movie because he gave his brother.
It's a Wes Craven Presents. So okay. I think he created the character or was the executive producer or something. But it breaks open and then this guy like takes the gem out and sells it to a pawn shop where this girl works, and she by breathing on it, I guess that's what awoke the genie, and then made her the important person, and then when she brought it to her friend to get it analyzed, that's when they realized, oh my god, there's something really weird about this, and then the wishes start people start then he just like shows up, he's like I'm the guy, I'm gonna make wishes happen, and
I'm the wish guy.
It just. And then he gets to a point where, like, at the very end of the movie where he's trying to get her to make the wishes, so he's doing bad shit to her so that she would just give up and go, all right, fine, I wish this. But he has unlimited power, and he's making statues come to life and slowly come after her, and she's running away and stuff. I'm like, if you really are in desperate need to make her do something more drastic than making a fucking statue walk at 1/2 mile an hour towards her, it's like I feel like he lost on purpose, but you can't make wishes against the genie, so she's like, I wish that this guy wasn't drunk that day, and then it goes back, flashes back, and then the guy isn't drunk, and he doesn't drop the statue, and then it's the end of the movie.
Like, are you like, they never found it,
fucking kidding me? Yeah, so I give that movie a 5. And then the second movie, there's these these museum thieves who are stealing these paintings. And then the cops come, and there's a shootout by the cops, and they shoot a chunk of the statue out, and that's where the gem, she sees the gem and goes and takes it, or the guy takes it, or whatever. And then the guy comes out and is born, the genie comes out, and he's like, oh, I'm here, and the guy's like, oh, the partner, because there's two people robbing the museum. The girl runs off, and the guy, the guy gets shot by the cops. He's like, oh, I wish I was never born. And then you see him basically turn into a baby and disappear. And it was like, and then the cops come up and they're like, hey, you robbed the bank, you robbed the museum. He's like, oh, I'm the Wishmaster, I sure did. And they put him in jail. So he's granting all these people in jail wishes.
I sure did.
He's like granting all these people in jail these wishes because, I mean, everyone in jail wants to be free or be strong or something. Yeah. And then he ends up going to the fucking. He ends up getting out because a guy goes, I wish that I could leave through the front doors of this prison. And he's like, okay. So then he walks out with him after he had forced a person through the bars of it because it's all about phrasing. But then he ends up going to Las Vegas and he's talking to the guy who owns it. He's like, boy, this hotel wishes that everyone could be lucky and win a lot of money. He's like, oh, the whole hotel wishes? So he fucking takes everyone's soul in the hotel.
Wow, you can't just give other people's souls away.
I know, I'm like, this is bullshit.
I didn't agree to this.
Yeah, but in this movie they bring in the whole thing and saying the person who woke him, there's a spell you can say, but a person has to be pure and their soul can't be tainted, and if they perform a spell, then the genie goes back in the gem, but then you realize at the very beginning, I don't know, that one was slightly better, so I gave it a 5.5, so a whole half of a star.
Wow. I think most people thought the first one was better, but
it made me mad because the actors felt like they're there were such cheesy moments in the first one, because the first one, the girl was like, oh, her boyfriend or her friend who she didn't want to date because she didn't want to ruin their friendship, he was the guy that examined the gem and then he died first. And she's like, oh, I never got to tell him. Oh, you could have. So when she went back in time, she's like, how about that date? He's like, what? I didn't think you wanted to. She's like, well, huh. This seems like this is your
lucky
day.
So she remembers everything?
Yeah, she apparently remembers everything, but no one else does. I don't know why. Because she's special, I guess. Yeah. They weren't great movies. Oh, the second one was called Evil Never Dies. So Wishmaster 2, Evil Never Dies. I know there's three or four of them, but yeah. Anyways, I think the next movie I have you watched with me. Yep.
So the next movie you saw in the theater was Justice League.
Justice League.
So, I just want to point out I liked Man of Steel.
I did too.
I liked Batman Superman.
It was okay.
So
were these in here?
When Man of Steel wasn't, but Batman Superman was.
Okay.
Batman Superman, I gave that one a 7.5 back in,
August? March.
March
2016.
There you go.
I gave it a 5.5 back then.
So, Justice League, the premise of the movie is this new god, Steppenwolf, is collecting these three mother boxes to basically take over the universe.
Yeah, to transition the Earth into apocalypse.
So with that, Batman's like, we need to form a team. And Luthor was investigating these people. So I'm going to get Aquaman, Flash, Cyborg, Wonder Woman back together to stop him. So basically, it's a team-up movie to stop a greater evil.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the characters are rebellious, like Aquaman, who doesn't want to join the team, but then later changes his mind, I guess.
I'm not sure why, but...
So, there's Themyscira, whatever.
Themyscira,
where Wonder Woman is from. They have one of the mother boxes. The Atlanteans, where Aquaman's from, has another mother box. And then the humans have the third one, which is buried in the forest by King Arthur, and then later dug up by a scientist and used to create Cyborg. So basically there's those three boxes and this big, huge CG god comes down to try to take them. And after Wonder Woman's and Aquaman's mother boxes basically get taken. They all team up to try to stop him from taking the third one, mm-hmm. and then forming them together to create the ultimate mother box. There was very little origin story for a lot of the characters.
Yeah.
So, like, Flash's backstory you don't know a whole lot about. You got pieces.
Yeah.
Same with Cyborg and Aquaman, and Wonder Woman had her own movie.
Yeah.
And Batman, by now everyone knows Batman's story.
Yeah, because there's at least three sets of movies and
TV shows. So, as a person who's never read any of the comics, they might be a little confused by some of the characters, but for me, who's read a bunch of the characters in the comic books, I liked it because I knew who the characters were.
Well, also, like, the origin story of the Flash, and, like, and you don't need to know necessarily know the origin story as long as you know, oh, he taps into the...
And plus, you don't always need to know why.
Yeah, but, like, you know he taps into the Speed Force. You know that Cyborg was created because...
Because the kid died.
The kid died, and he was building him out of machine
technology. Yeah, and the mother box helped create him. So, I mean, yeah, some people got mad because you didn't get to see the origin, but you don't really need... All you need to know is, okay, this guy runs fast.
Yeah.
This guy controls water.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's a robot, so he can hack into stuff.
Yeah.
But... Overall, I thought it was a good movie. It felt like a comic book.
Yes. That's...
Like, the entire movie felt like a comic. The same setup as a giant, like, story arc type thing, like, where you're following each character. And mm-hmm. I don't know, even some of the comic shots felt like they were taken from comic strips that didn't actually exist.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the person who made the storyboards for this movie loved comics. It was... obviously darker than the Avengers, but it was still brighter than Batman Superman. A lot of people are like, who is this Steppenwolf guy? Well, he would have been introduced in Batman Superman if they didn't cut that scene out. So, I don't know. He's a henchman for Darkseid, who's the ultimate villain in the DC universe.
He's like the DC's Thanos.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Where his planet's dying and he wants to create... take over a new one. I don't know. I gave it an 8. I thought it was really good. There was a lot of... I'm not going to spoil anything, but there was a lot of things in the movie that I did not expect to see.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh my God! Like, happy excitement as a comic book fan of DC.
But there's,
And then, yeah, the after credits scene I was really excited about.
I was going to say there's also things you and I were like, wouldn't it be awesome if this was happening? And it wasn't. So, yeah. But to go along with that, what you said is, I know a lot of people shit on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it because, like, I mean, Batman Superman... I thought it was an okay movie. I could see why people would not like it and or like it.
Yeah.
But this one was like, it was a fun movie. This one felt like it was an actual, hey, we're not going to be as wholly encompassing like the Avengers movie.
Right.
So it is going to have a little more of a niche market.
Mm-hmm.
But it still felt like it was a overall like, hey, everyone can enjoy this movie.
Right.
I liked it.
The past DC movies, I feel, they made them specifically for the people who read the comics.
Yeah.
Like, Suicide Squad, if you like the comics, you'll like the movie. Same with Batman Superman, like, if you like the Dark Batman stuff. Where this felt like that, too, but I felt like they opened it up a little more.
Yeah.
Mainly because Suicide Squad and Batman Superman had such negative reviews that they want to make people happy. But... they still wanted to be loyal to their fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously there are some big changes that from the comics to the movie, which I'm not going to get into
because
I don't want to spoil anything. But
I know you're...
I thought it flowed really well. It didn't feel long, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't really that long. Where, you know, like watching Thor 2 or something, that felt like a long movie.
Yeah.
Batman Superman felt like a long movie. To me, Man of Steel didn't feel like a long movie, mm-hmm. but...
Also, one thing I really enjoyed about it feeling like a comic book movie is you watch feeling like an actual comic book movie.
Yeah.
Is like you watch, like, let's say you just watched X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Apocalypse didn't do anything except, hey, boost your powers, boost your powers, boost your powers, and at the end he's like, I'll have a little bit of a fight, but mostly it was Magneto. This one, Steppenwolf got his hands dirty, dove in, and was like just annihilating all these like minions. And like, this is what a true comic book villain would do. Like, fine, I'm gonna do all this shit because I want this item. Which I love that aspect for it. But I know you were more excited about this than I was. If it wasn't for you, I'd probably been like, I probably won't see it. But, and this is before we got the movie pass, but like, I was like, I probably won't see it. But if Jason's going to see it, I'll see it with him. You gave it 8.5. I gave it, I know you gave it 8.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.5. So yeah. I wasn't even looking forward to the movie that much. And I'm like, oh, I enjoyed it that much that I gave it a 7.5.
Yeah. I really hope they release a director's cut because I want to see what, because they trimmed it down to fit.
They cut like a half an hour at least out of it.
And I want to see that extra stuff because, like I said, the deleted scenes from Batman Superman would have explained all the plot holes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was many plot holes in this movie, but if there were, I feel like more stuff would have been explained. Because someone told me Willem Dafoe was in this movie, but they cut it.
Huh.
He was an Atlantean. Yeah. He's like a big character.
Atlantis.
That was hardly in it.
Like, I wonder if he was like the Atlantean.
He's
king.
A big brooding guy.
Was he the king? The
he wasn't the king.
Yeah, Atlantis. There was like it was Mera, Aquaman, and then like three guards.
Like you saw a couple things, but that scene happened so fast with the mother box.
It felt like the whole Atlantis scene felt like it was a bonus feature. Like it really.
There were so many scenes in the trailer that weren't in the movie. So I don't know if they did it on purpose or if those were scenes that were cut or changed.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, I gave it an 8. You gave it 7.5.
Yeah. Okay. The next movie I watched was a movie called Tears of the Black Tiger. It was a...
Aren't all tigers half black?
Yeah, but this is a black tiger.
What is it, black on black?
I don't know. It's a code name. It's not necessarily.
There's no actual tiger.
No. It's a character. That's what they call him, the Black Tiger. It's a movie from like 2006 from Thailand. That's the one I was showing you with like the. It's a super saturated colored one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like a Western. It's like a Western movie, but they like. Did some fun stuff with the colors where like certain things were super saturated and the colors were like really bright, but it still felt like a Western. It had a cool feel. And I was watching the movie and I kept thinking it was from the 70s, but it was made 10 years ago. I don't even know how to describe this. But there's like this group of bandit type esque people, where one of the main characters he's known as the Black Tiger. He's really good at shooting guns and like aiming and hitting what he's going for and stuff like that. But at the beginning of the movie, you see him like doing this shootout in this house against this other group of bad guys or whatever. And then and you see a girl just like waiting for a guy at this like train depot type thing. Like they're gonna run away, but she's like, oh, he didn't show up. So then she leaves. And tells her mom, she's like, he didn't show up. We can't marry him. I can't marry him now because he just didn't show up. Because she's being set up to get married to this government commander type person for the army. General, I think. He was a general. I don't know, whatever. That's not important what he was. So she's like, she has to marry this guy that she's not in love with. And meanwhile, the person she loves is like, sort of an enemy of the state. So at one point there's a battle and like the group of bandits are fighting after like fighting this Thailand police force type thing, and they capture the girl's fiance, and then the Black Tiger is like gonna shoot him, and he's like, oh, can you please give word to my fiance and like at least tell her that I love her? And he sees the picture, he's like, oh shit, this is the girl that I love. This is her fiance. I can't kill him, so he lets him go, and then so like the bad guy like lets him go because he's like, I don't want her to feel bad, and then it turns out that the bandits are like, we're gonna do a surprise attack on this wedding that's gonna be happening. He's like, we can't do that because he doesn't want all that shit to happen. So but then in the and then like and then it kind of gets to the kind of climax of the movie. But a lot of cool things happen. Like the shots, there's some crazy bloody shots in the movie. Like there's one part where they show a guy, I don't want to say who because that'll kind of ruin part of the movie, but there's a guy, they're having a face off with their guns. A face off? What's it called?
Standoff?
Standoff.
That's a different movie.
Yes, they're having a standoff, and then he like pulls a gun and shoots him, and you see the bullet go coming at him, and like basically shoot his teeth in, and then it blows out the back of his head. Like Jesus. Holy fuck! It was a pretty neat movie. It had a lot of cool but it still looked pretty cheesy. But it was like 1970s cheesy. Like I said, it felt like a 1970s movie. But it was entertaining. I don't know if I'd watch it again, but I would definitely I would recommend it to some people if they like weird, artsy, like sort of 1970s Western-ish movies. But I gave it a 7.
Nice. So the next movie I saw in the theater was a movie called Wonder. Why do you like, I don't know.
It's a happy one.
So the kid from Room that won awards in the past. He plays this kid who has problems because he's been in the hospital a lot since he's been born.
I thought that's your way of saying, fuck it, I don't remember the name of his. He has problems.
But he has, you know, his face is scarred and he looks different. And his parents are played by Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts.
Okay.
Fucking
Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So he's been homeschooled because of his the way he looks.
The kid, right?
Not yeah, Owen the Wilson. Kid.
Okay.
Owen Wilson's been homeschooled. The kid's been homeschooled and middle school, they're going to bring him to actual school. They're it's a good starting point. Middle school kids are coming from different schools, so you're not going to be the only new kid in school. So they decide that they're going to bring him to school. So they give him a little tour of the school before school starts.
Mm-hmm.
And three kids meet up with him and walk him through the school.
Okay.
Showing him around. One of the kids is like the cool, I'm super cool, everyone loves me, but I'm a complete asshole. There's like the quiet kid who's trying to fit in with the cool kids, and then there's this girl who just loves attention, so she just talks about herself the whole fucking time.
Sounds like a bunch of winners.
So these are the three kids that he first meets, and as the movie goes, he starts, like the quiet kid that's trying to fit in, he becomes really close friends with him. And at the same time, then they take the movie and show from a different point of view. So it shows the mom's point of view.
Okay.
Like saying, this is the hardest thing to ever do is to let him be him.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then it shows it from the sister's point of view, the older sister.
Okay.
Who never had attention because the kid is everything.
Oh, shit.
So she's like, whatever I say, like, if I'm having a bad day at school, it doesn't matter because this kid has a bad life.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, she feels very neglected. So it shows her, like, her first day of school, and she meets this new guy, and she's like, oh, I'm an only child. Are you too? And she's like, yeah. So then she, like, kind of lies about it, but then, like, she starts falling for this guy, and then she feels bad. So eventually she tells him, and it's not one of those things where he just finds out and like, you lied to me. So it was interesting because, yeah, you see it from this kid's point of view that all the shit he's going through, and mm-hmm. he gets made fun of a lot and picked on, like bullied like crazy.
Yeah.
But you see other people, other kids like starting to stand up, and it was a very strong movie.
I like the aspect of showing it from, like
yeah.
This is the...
Like, yeah, important. So you're like, okay, this kid is important stuff, but then you see how
it
that affect everybody.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah, I like that part a lot, especially when it started showing from the sister's point of view.
Yeah, I like that aspect.
Because, yeah, even the kid's like, you don't know what it's like. And she's like, I don't. But I don't get any attention.
Mm-hmm.
until you came along, like, because she was the older sister.
Yeah.
So she's like, Mom and Dad cared about me until you were born. And, like, it's like, holy shit. But, yeah, it was a really good movie. Constant tears. Happy and sad and all kinds of stuff. But I gave it an 8. I thought it was really good.
Not to sound mean, but I find it... The kid's all, his face is all messed up, and Owen Wilson is his dad. Is that like part genetic? Or?
No, it's his best dad. But it was funny because, like, one of the kids is like,
I'm sorry,
Owen, why don't you get plastic surgery? And the kid's like, this is me after plastic surgery. Like, he's like, you don't even want to know what I look like before. But, yeah, it was kind of cool. Oh, yeah, and then there was another point because. The girl, the sister,
yeah,
she had her best friend, like, went to, like, summer school, or not summer, summer camp during the summer. So when they come back to school, she wanted nothing to do with her.
Oh.
So she's like, my only friend doesn't want to be my friend. So that's, like, her hard part that she was dealing with. But then it was kind of interesting because then it showed it from her, the girl's point of view, the friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, holy shit. So it was kind of cool, like, how everything was, like, tying together. The ending, the very ending was a little cheesy, I thought.
They all woke up and it was a dream.
Yeah, it was just a dream. No. But if you saw the movie, and you know what I'm talking about, the ending seemed a little...
Okay.
I don't know. very made-for-TV movie kind of ending. But yeah, I gave it an 8. I thought it was really good.
Okay.
Wonder!
The next movie that I watched was a...
That's a guy.
This movie I watched. I don't even want to talk about it. Like, it's not that it was bad. I don't know how to make it exciting. I watched Vantage Point.
Vantage Point.
Vantage Point.
Yeah, I saw that a long time ago. Back when I still pirated movies.
I watched it because I forgot that one time I bought at rummage sale. I bought a CD sleeve, like a little like. Portable CD thing full of PlayStation games, and there's like two DVDs in there, and that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the story is that there's this this like peace conference type thing. I don't know if I think it was a peace conference. It was some sort of UN like speech going on, and the U.S. president was there like trying to make amends, and then he gets assassinated in front of everybody. And initially, you see from like the camera people's point of view, like Sigourney Weaver's character, like. Like, oh, wait, like, what happened? The reporters are like, what happened? What's going on back there? And then it rewinds. You see from someone else's point of view. And then it rewinds. You see someone else's point of view numerous times. Seeing all these different characters. And right away, you're like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And then each time you learn about this one person's life. And then here's one weird aspect to this. And then here's one more weird aspect to it. And here's one more weird aspect to it. And because then you realize, like, oh... The president, that wasn't actually the president, it was a lookalike. And the president just saw his lookalike get shot on TV, and then all these people are trying to, turns into a car chase and all this other stuff. And, like, and the people you think are the good guys are the bad guys, the people you think are bad guys are good guys, and people that you don't even know exist are involved in some sort of thing going on. And I felt like after I watched it, I'm like, I don't know what I just watched. But I don't want to, like, figure it out.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
But like, I had a lot of big name people, like William Hurt, Dennis Quaid, Sigourney Weaver, Forest Whitaker, Matthew Fox. Those are the ones that I know. I know there's people in there I recognize, but I don't know who they are, what their names are and stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
Those are the first couple of names that I, you know, but I don't know. It was all right. I gave it a 5.5.
So the next movie I watched, you also watched.
Okay.
We finally got around to watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
I really liked Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Was it that in here?
Yeah. I don't remember. I should have wrote down when it was. I liked it a lot. I gave it...
August 2014.
There you go. August 2014. I gave it an 8.5. I liked the first one a lot.
I gave it a 7.5. It was all right. It wasn't anything special to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I just liked it because it was a team-up movie.
Yeah.
Where you didn't need to know everyone's backstory.
Yes.
Each character was different.
Yes.
And the pros and cons of each character reflected the other characters and the different scenarios that they put themselves through working together and not working together and stuff. I don't know. I just liked the dynamic of all the characters.
Felt like the dynamic worked better in the first one.
Right.
The
that's one. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about the first one.
Yeah.
The second movie is basically Star-Lord finding out who his dad is.
Yep.
While Yondu has a story.
Yep. Yondu
it was the guy who took care of Star-Lord
as a kid,
because his dad was elsewhere.
And then after his mom died.
Right. Yeah. Once his mom died at the beginning of the first movie, the spaceship came and it was Yondu who took him and took care of him. So there's like the Yondu story and then the Star-Lord story happening. I can't really tell you.
The Ravagers, the whole Ravagers thing.
I'm like, I can't even tell you what happened because it was like there wasn't much of a plot. It was like, this is happening now. Now this is happening now.
Well, the intro of the movie was them like just doing this big fight where you didn't see it. It was all in the background because Baby Groot is apparently the best thing about the movies. Yeah. But then like they're there to defend these battery energy cell things. But then which Rocket stole anyway. And then so the people that hired them decided to go after them, and then that's when like the Ravagers were like, oh, we'll hunt them down. And then meanwhile he's like, hey, my dad's here, I want to hang out with my dad. Well, shouldn't we worry about these bad guys? I guess we'll worry about it when it matters or whenever we want an action scene. It felt like there was a lot of action going on for nothing exactly happening at the moment.
Right.
There's action for no important reason.
It was like action for the sake of we want to see fighting.
Yeah, but the action was decent.
Yeah, it was good. Like, it just seemed like it wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
But it looked cool and the fighting scenes were pretty sweet. But I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the Yondu character.
Yeah.
So I didn't really care as much for him.
Yeah.
Mantis
seemed like she was there for one specific reason, which she didn't even get to. Because she's like, oh, there's something I need to tell you. And like, oh, this is where we get the information from. And then she doesn't even get to tell them the information she was supposed to. Drax laughed way too much.
Yeah, he did. I don't understand that.
He was funny in the first movie because he's like, I'm serious and I take everything literally. And this movie he's like, look at how literal I think everything's funny. And like, okay, fucking calm down, Drax. Especially like Mantis was there like reading their emotions and she's like, oh, you had a very rough life. Your wife died, your kid died. He's like, ha ha ha, you embarrassed. I'm like, this isn't the same character. What are you doing? if you read the comics and know much about Marvel history, I like that they brought in,
Celestials?
Celestials, yes. I was gonna say Eternals, that they're kind of tied together. And also another character, but to me, it wasn't a surprise. It felt like it was supposed to be a surprise, who the main villain of the movie was. But I knew about it, so I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what should have happened, I guess. That was kind of decent, like kind of cool. But overall, I wasn't overly impressed by it at all.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.
I gave it a 6 and that's it.
Just a six. A 6 and a 0.0. Yeah, I didn't think it was anything too exciting.
Yeah. Apparently, according to this,
I was actually very disappointed after liking the first one a lot that this one felt like it was lacking a lot.
Now
I'm really scared because they're making a third one.
Yeah. I was worried because after watching Guardians 3, a.k.a. Thor Ragnarok.
You mean, because they were trying to be Guardians?
Yeah. I was like, oh, God, I'm going to hate Guardians 2. Like, oh, no, I like that a lot more than
they're
Thor.
They're about equal for me. Like, it wasn't... The jokes weren't as forced, but...
I guess part of it is also that Star-Lord and Rocket have guns, and that didn't feel weird. Seeing Loki and Thor with shooting guns
yeah.
was like... All right, you're trying too hard. I have one more movie.
Me too.
All right. I'll talk about mine.
Okay.
The next movie I watched...
Because you saw the one I watched.
Yeah. The next movie I watched was, speaking of Owen Wilson and sad movies, I watched Marley and Me.
Yeah.
That was one of those, like, our friend Jeff Lucas and his wife Erin, they gave it to me because they apparently had numerous copies of it. And, like, here, here's your birthday.
They had numerous copies. Yeah, they had numerous.
No, they had numerous copies, and they gave it to me because, like, here, you want it? I'm like, sure. I'll watch it, I guess. I know it's a... I was in a book club where I was supposed to read the book, and I didn't get very far in it. But the part that I read in the book, I was hoping for the movie they didn't have, so I was still a little sad about that. But Owen Wilson and his wife, Jennifer Green? Nope. Not Jennifer.
Jennifer
Aniston.
Nope. Oh, yeah, Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston.
So I was thinking Garner.
Rachel Green, I was going to say, from Friends. Those two, they're like, they are married, and they both move to a different city because they're both, they write for newspapers. And she's like the better one. She's better at writing. And he's like just kind of like doing like columns and stuff like that, whatever. But she's like doing like big pieces and whatnot. But like she kind of wants to start a family. He's like, I'm not ready to start a family. And then his friend's like, dude, what you do? Get a dog. And then you'll kind of learn if a dog, like if you can handle having a kid, if you can handle having a dog. So they get a dog and it is a terror. It chews on everything, fucking barks, breaks shit, like fucking crazy. Cause the, and then, it's just a dog that you just can't seem to train at all. And the dog's just a mess. But then you see the family, like eventually, like they eventually have their first child. And then the dog is like, and then the turmoil of like their family just like becoming very stressed with like having a dog and having hardly any money, having a kid, all right, sorry, a dog that doesn't like listen and all that stuff, like just causes havoc all the time, like constantly barks at everything, scared of thunderstorms, so just starts freaking out, wakes up the baby, they have to get up and stuff of that, and they end up having numerous kids. We're like, we don't have the budget for this, so like it's very stressful, and like and there's some arguments in that movie that are too real, and I'm like, I felt awkward. But I mean, like I knew the book, I knew the dog. I mean, very light spoiler. You should kind of know this is going to happen because this is one of the biggest things about the movie. Is it's a sad movie because the dog lives out its life, and then the end of the movie is when it dies. But the kids are all grown up, the family's grown up, and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm pretty good with. things and not being sad. I feel my eyes welling up right now. And I'm like, I can handle this. I couldn't handle that. when the dog started getting sick and like some of that, and just because he was getting old and stuff, I was like, okay, this is fine. And then, but then like when like Owen Wilson had to call home from like, the vet's office and he starts breaking down. I'm like, Owen Wilson isn't supposed to cry. and it was one of those things where, like, I wasn't necessarily crying, but, like, I just felt the tears just coming out of my eyes without me, like, it was a weird feeling. And, but overall, it was, man, it had some funny moments because the dog, whoever the made the dog act, I mean, obviously they used numerous ones because you saw him throughout his whole life.
There is a puppy. They waited that long for the dog to recover.
They waited like 10 years to make the whole movie. Because the dog at the end is fucking old. He has to be dead by now, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's because the dog like just chews the shit out of everything. There's one point, I always laugh at this, even though it's very generic, but Owen Wilson and his friend are sitting at like at this cafe outside and the dog sees something he likes. But he's tied to the table.
Oh, and the table.
He fucking pulls the table behind him, and it's just bouncing all around behind him. And the dog, you can tell he's like, he knows he has to run from point A to point B, but the table kind of scares him once in a while. So like, you see him like, look back like, oh, and then keep going like, I'm doing this. But like, and then I watched some of the blooper scenes where they had to like, because at one point he knocks down the dog trainer and starts humping her leg and stuff like that. And like,
god damn, that must be worth it alone just watching that shit.
It was a pretty cheesy like generic, like, oh, look at how we're goofing around, but like I'm like, how
I just want to see dog outtakes.
Yes, that would have been that would have been so good. I mean, there was outtakes that the dog did certain things, like he at one point he had to knock over a bird bath and he's just kind of like pushing his nose against it, like, no, go on, do it. But like they had
this, it's a dog, and you came over here.
Yeah, they had this like they had this this rag. It must have been some sort of dog scent, because whenever they put it by his nose, he just started humping things. It was pretty funny. But no, overall the movie was actually better than I thought. Maybe I'm turning into an adult and actually liking movies like Dirty Dancing and Marley and Me and stuff. But I gave it a 7.5.
So the last movie I watched was Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Which I've never seen before.
Speaking of dogs.
Speaking of dogs, there's no dogs in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is, I think it's Tarantino's first, if not,
I think it's his first big length. One.
But it is a group of criminals working together to do a heist. And as they rob the bank, the cops are there already. So then they assume that somebody inside the group snitched.
Someone tipped them off.
Someone tipped them off. The cops got there way too fast. So someone told the cops. And you see, this movie jumps around time-wise a lot. So there, it starts with a couple of the guys in this warehouse, like, waiting, saying, where is everybody? I think blah, 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 tipped us off. They're like, no. And then it cuts to, like, where they're first getting together to form the crew.
Are they also, like...
And then it also shows it from the crooked guy's point of view. Or not the crooked guy, the cop, who is pretending to be in this group.
And also the classic, like, hey, here's someone bleeding in the backseat of a car.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah. But then, it, you know, yeah, that scene where there's blood. And there's, like, they kidnap one of the cops. And they, like, start torturing him to have him tell, who is it? Who tipped you off? And... It, like, a lot happened, but a lot didn't happen at the same time. Mm-hmm. Most of the story was them talking, which the dialogue was amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved the dialogue in it, the jokes, the stories, all that stuff. Yeah, and then when you find out who the criminal is, and then just to fucking, you find, like, the crew basically finds out who the cop was. Pretty much after everyone's dead. So there's a giant shootout at the end, and everyone's bleeding to death, and then the guy's like, I did it! I was the cop! And he's like, oh, you stood up for me, buddy! But yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
I have to watch it again. I watched it in college, because I bought it, because it was on sale the day or the week that
it's Kill, always funny
Kill
because,
Bill came out.
Like, Reservoir Dogs and Usual Suspects, I usually group together. They're kind of similar.
Yeah.
But Reservoir Dogs, I think, is way better.
Yeah, it's really good.
I don't know. Just the storytelling was really good. So, yeah, that was the last movie I saw.
Yeah.
So,
well, technically the
last one I saw was Hearts of Atlantis, but we already talked about
that. Yeah, technically the last one I saw was Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, but so for this month, the movies that were on my list to watch were Hearts of Atlantis, Safety Last, Star Trek, Dirty Dancing, Kiss Me Deadly, Wishmaster 2,
Wishmaster,
Tears of the Black Tiger, Vantage Point, and Marley and Me.
And the two I watched was Wonderful Life and Reservoir Dogs.
But the best movie I watched this month was Dirty Dancing with an 8.
Oh, shit.
And the worst movie I watched was Thor Ragnarok with a 4.5, almost half the score.
The best movie I watched this month... I watched 4 movies with an 8.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life, Reservoir Dogs, Justice League, and Wonder. I gave 8s. And then the worst movie was Hearts in Atlantis with a 5.
All right. If you have any things, email. Oh, my God. I couldn't think of any of the words. If you want to
email. You say it every time, and it's been like 3 years, and you still can't get it right.
This is almost the 4th year. Oh, by the way, we missed our last episode. It was the 50th episode. So this is the 51st. Whatever. I don't care. If you have any suggestions for movies you want us to watch, or if you had any different opinions on movies you liked or
if
didn't
you
like.
Or we were wrong.
Yeah, we thought we were way wrong, or...
like. Why did you like Wonder? That was a shitty movie.
Yeah, or why did you hate whatever? Fuck. Good example
just,
of an email.
Just wrap it.
Yeah, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. Otherwise,
that's a wrap.
Thor, Ragnar, wrap it up. Ragnar, wrap it up! Ragnar, wrap it up. This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.